It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with mountain climber and humanitarian Jen Loeb about her new photo book, Shots from the Heart. But first, summer in Iowa usually brings with it heat, humidity, fairs, festivals, summer camps, evenings on the patio, and many other things. This summer is going to be different. We've already seen many summer events canceled as COVID-19 cases continue to increase in our state. But last week, the governor released her plan for reopening the state. And in 77 counties, restaurants and some other businesses were allowed to reopen on Friday. Many summer programs for kids have already been canceled, but some are taking a wait-and-see approach. Iowans are going to have to make some hard choices for themselves. In this hour, we are exploring that process. We'll also get some guidance in a few minutes as well. We're going to start off in Jones County. The Jitney in Monticello is a very popular bar and restaurant. Jones County is one of those 77 counties that's allowed to reopen, but co-owners Aaron Cox and Katie Farrow decided they were not ready to reopen. They are on the line with me now. Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
And hello, Katie.
Hello.
Thank you both so much for being here today. And Katie, start us off. Tell us how you've been coping since the pandemic began. How are things at the Jitney?
Well, we actually closed a couple weeks after. We tried to do takeout for a couple weeks, and it just wasn't making the ends meet. So we decided to close until we could open again more fully. So we've kind of been enjoying time at home with our kids, homeschooling 3 kids, you know, that yep. kind of fun stuff.
something many of us are coping with right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you learned that you could reopen on Friday, Aaron, what was your response?
It was immediate. It's not going to happen. We definitely didn't think it was the right time. The numbers of cases are still growing, and there hasn't been a peak yet. And we, you know, we're surrounded by counties that do have a lot of cases, and that was a little worrisome to us. But, you know, it's also, we don't want to have to open up again and then have to close back down again, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. And well, and Katie, what are the economic consequences of that if you were to open up and it didn't work? I mean, that's a costly experiment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have one chance to do that. We can't, you know, invest thousands and thousands of dollars to refill all of our inventory that we, you know, sold all of it of to close down, to, you know, spend all that money and then a week later be shut down again because all of a sudden Jones County's a hot spot. I mean, it's just not feasible. We have one chance to do this again, you know? So
what are your long-term plans? How long do you feel like you can remain closed and successfully reopen? Katie, you can start that answer.
You know, that's kind of what we're trying to figure out right now. You know, the 50% capacity is not something that also is really going to help, just because, you know, we can't, our rent and everything is still 100%. We don't have to pay 50% of our rent and 50% of our bills, you know. So we would like to see maybe by the end of June, end of May, beginning of June, if there's some more restrictions that are lifted to where, you know, 50 people can be together and then we don't have to do the 50% capacity. That would be much better for us. You know, we have to open up by July for sure, but we really are hoping to by June just because of the summer travelers. Like, we do get a lot of people, you know, going from Madison, Wisconsin to Iowa City and stopping through and eating on the way. And that's a lot of our business. So, you know, we are thinking about them and as well as everybody in town, that the people who do want to come out, some people do, some people don't. You know, it's really hard right now.
Right. Well, and Aaron, of course, the COVID-19 is not going to disappear by the time you guys do reopen, if that happens in June or July. What kinds of ideas do you have for trying to make the environment more safe, not just for your customers, but also for your employees and for you?
Yeah, that's where it gets a little tricky because we're small. And currently, with the restrictions that are in place, we would be able to have four tables to be sat at, and that's not really that many. And, you know, they also recommend right now not to have any bar seats, and we have, you know, 20-plus bar seats. So we're going to have to get creative, and the creativity goes with our food menu as well. The food costs right now are very scary with beef and pork. So I'm not for sure if we could put those on the menu anytime soon, because I don't think any customer is going to pay what we would have to charge with the margins that they are at right now. But we, you know, of course we would do as much as we can with our employees and keep everything down to a minimum, because, you know, everything needs to be 6 feet apart. But again, that's why we hope that it gets a little bit better and that we can lift some of the restrictions as far as capacity goes to make it worth opening up.
Now, of course, I know that the restaurant community is very interconnected, and I know that a lot of restaurants and businesses are struggling right now. Katie, have you talked to other restaurants in the area who have decided to reopen?
Just our friend Eric owns Diamond Pie in town, and he serves pizza, and he also has subs and pastas. And he opened up, but it makes sense for him. I mean, he's been open this whole time. You know, pizzas are really easy to do to go. You know, they already had a lot of to-go established for him. And he, it's much easier for him to, you know, still seat quite a few people to make money, because it's a fast turnover kind of place. You know, ours is not. Ours is a place that people love the atmosphere, and they love to come in and chat and talk and hang out and have a good time. And, you know, that's not what they're encouraging right now with their restrictions. They want people to come in, eat, and leave, you know. So,
as I mentioned earlier, Iowans are going to have to make a lot of difficult decisions as business owners, as employers, as employees, as parents, just as people. Aaron, does that feel like there's a heavy burden on your shoulders right now to have to make all of these choices?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I stress about it every day, because I'm not quite sure what the right answer is, or if what we're doing is the right answer, or if we should be doing something different, or if what we're doing is absolutely, you know, perfect. And because it's just such an unknown, and it is scary, and we have no idea if things are going to, you know, be safer by the summer. And that unknown is something that, you know, we are struggling with, and or the fact that things probably won't be the same for a really long time. By long time, I mean years. That, you know, it hurts my heart that we can't open up the Jitney again just the way that it was on, you know, March 15th, because things just have to be different for the safety of everybody. And that's a hard thing to come to terms with.
Well, I wish you both the best. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much, Marty, for having us.
Aaron Cox and Katie Farrow are the co-owners of The Jitney in Monticello, very popular bar and restaurant in Jones County. They have chosen not to reopen yet. Going to sleepaway camp is a summer tradition for many children in Iowa and everywhere. Camp Wapsie is the camp affiliated with the YMCA of Greater Cedar Rapids, and the camp is located outside of Coggin in northern Linn County. So we'll find out a little later what they're thinking about right now as they make decisions for the summer. We also have Dr. Rosana Rosa, an infectious disease specialist at Unity Point Health in Des Moines, on the line with us. Dr. Rosa, hello.
Hi. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today. And, you know, this weekend gave us a little bit of preview of summer weather in Iowa. We saw a lot of Iowans getting out and really enjoying the weather. A lot of people nervous about seeing so many Iowans gathered together. I'm curious, what were your thoughts over the summer or over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I happen to be lucky enough that I live close to a park, and I was happy to see that the people that were, going outdoors were really doing it in a responsible way, going for walks and bike rides and things like that, and really trying to make an effort to stay apart, because truly physical distancing and washing our hands are all the tools that we have right now in order to stop the spread of the virus.
I think a lot of us understand how careful we need to be in indoor spaces. When we're outside, it feels safer. What do we need to understand about how the virus can be transmitted, even though we're outdoors?
Yeah, so it is important to understand that the virus is mainly transmitted through respiratory droplets from person to person who are in prolonged close contact. So that is the main way through which the virus is transmitted. So, I'll give you an example, right? I've seen some people being worried about whether they should wear a mask when they are running, right? I mean, if you are running by yourself, I don't think that you need to wear a mask. You know, you're taking a jog, you're fine. You know, you're going at a pace enough that, you know, if you just try to stay apart from other people that you might encounter on your route, you should be fine. There are certainly sometimes people worry about when they hear like, oh, there have been studies that have shown that the virus can spread through aerosols, right? And mm-hmm. aerosols are essentially particles that are much smaller than droplets. And so if they are smaller, the idea is that they can remain in the air for longer periods of time, and then that you can just come in and breathe that, right? So regarding those...
I'm going to have to pick up here after a short break.
Sorry.
We'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Rosana Rosa is an infectious diseases specialist at Unity Point Health in Des Moines. We're talking about what the summer looks like and how Iowans are going to have to make some difficult decisions this summer. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'll talk with mountain climber and humanitarian Jen Loeb about her new photo book, Shots from the Heart. Right now, we're looking ahead to summer. It's not very far away. There are businesses reopening around the state of Iowa. Some summer camps have canceled their plans. Others are taking a wait-and-see approach. And Iowans are going to have to make choices for themselves about what they feel comfortable doing, what they feel comfortable having their families do this summer as COVID-19 cases continue to rise around the state. Dr. Rosana Rosa is an infectious diseases specialist at Unity Point Health in Des Moines. And Dr. Rosa, just before the break, you were saying that you feel like if people go for a run outside or a bike ride outside by themselves, they don't need to wear a mask. But there are concerns about the idea that COVID-19 can be spread through aerosols. So if we cough or sneeze and these tiny particles go out into the air, they could be breathed in by someone else. That makes a lot of people nervous. What is your takeaway on that?
Yeah, so we know there's essentially a continuum of how transmission can occur. So the main form of transmission is through droplets. So droplets are those invisible to our eyes, but still large, relatively larger substances that, you know, that when they land in your face, in your mouth, in your nose, in your eyes, they can become contagious, but they rapidly fall to the ground or surrounding surfaces. Aerosols are much smaller and can usually hang in the air for longer times. And so the studies that have shown that coronavirus can be aerosolized have usually done it under circumstances that do not happen in our daily lives. So usually they've done it, for example, simulating intubations or simulating procedures that are done inside the hospital. So that is why in the hospital, when we perform certain types of or perform these procedures, we wear a special type of personal protective equipment. So that's why I'm saying there's a continuum. In the community, the main form of transmission is through respiratory droplets. physical distancing should be, you know, in general will be enough to protect us. If you go out wearing a face mask or a face shield, will protect you. In the hospital, where procedures can aerosolize the coronavirus, transmission can happen that way, and that is why we wear a more intense type of personal protective equipment.
All right, Dr. Rosa, I have many more questions for you about this, but I do want to bring someone else into the conversation now, so stay with us, Dr. Rosa. With us now is Paul Nanowski. He is the executive director of Camp Wapsie. It is the camp affiliated with the YMCA of Greater Cedar Rapids, and it's located outside of Coggin in northern Linn County. Right now, the camp is planning to go ahead with their sleepaway camps, their scheduled programming this summer beginning in early June. Hello, Paul.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. So I'm sure you've had a lot of conversations, a lot of difficult decision-making going on. Tell me about the plan that you are sticking with for now.
Well, I mean, we put our summer plans together, and we are scheduled to begin summer programming on June 7th. And as the world knows, there's a lot of constant updates coming. We have not made any final decisions to cancel or postpone anything at this time, but we're obviously, you know, concerned for everybody's health and safety. And, you know, we want people to be able to experience camp, and we want to make sure that we can do that in a manner that puts people at as minimal risk as possible. We're expecting some guidelines coming out from the CDC this week with recommendations for camps. Coupled with that and the governor's recommendations, we just want to have as complete a picture of information as we can before we make any decisions to make changes. I mean, we're open to doing what we need to ensure everybody's safety, but we didn't want to do any cancellations too early and take the camp experience away from people if things were going to be changing or improving. So we're with much of the rest of the world kind of watching, waiting, and doing a lot of learning and evaluating so that we can make the best decision for everybody.
Absolutely. Have you been talking to people at other camps? As I mentioned, some camps have canceled. Some camps are waiting and seeing. Some camps say, you know, we're going to wait 2 weeks and then we're going to start. There are all kinds of different approaches out there. Are camp directors talking to each other?
Absolutely. Every week or every other week, I'm on Zoom calls. I meet with or talk with the directors of Y camps across the country. There's about 200 people that connect weekly. The camps in Eastern Iowa get together every other week, and the Y camps in Iowa get together every week or two and just connect on what's going on and sharing information and resources. And another big thing we're doing is putting plans together for what we expect may be the case and what recommendations we may get, looking at how do we implement social distancing at camp and trying to adjust a number of the procedures and activities to do it in the safest manner possible.
Yeah, social distancing is completely the opposite of what camp is normally about. And also, hygiene is not necessarily a high priority for a lot of summer campers. I have a few of those in my home, and they tend to come home unshowered. So tell me what that might look like at a sleepaway camp, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. If kids go to camp this summer, it is likely going to look and feel different. You know, we still want to hold true to, you know, the premises of camp to bring people together to experience the outdoors and get to know each other. But we're likely going to be doing that in smaller groups as they go to different activities and things like that. You know, we have put together a full plan for our health and sanitization and check-in procedures. Our check-in procedure usually goes pretty quick and smooth, and we try to tackle a lot of things, but this year it's going to be even more more intense, I guess, might be a good way to describe it, or just more thorough with some temperature checks. You know, we're just going to look for any precautions that might help us eliminate or minimize risk to people, because we understand we can't eliminate the risk, but we can do a lot to minimize it to help ensure everybody has a good experience. But we've got a plan with the staff to go through a much more thorough sanitization of, you know, the common areas where everybody's at and the activities and how we sanitize all the different materials and things that kids use on a daily basis at camp. And just like you said, kids come to camp to have fun. We try to make sure that they, you know, take a shower, we want to really institute that, you know, things are happening, and especially those sanitization practices are more thorough than they have been in the past.
Now, you sent out a letter last week to parents of your campers saying that, you know, all of the things that you've just said to me, that you're taking a wait and see approach, you don't want to cancel too soon, but right now you're planning to go ahead as scheduled. What kind of a response have you gotten from parents?
You know, I think most of the world is kind of following that same model. I mean, we've gotten a few people that have called with some questions. I mean, we've actually probably had more people registering than we have canceling or calling with other questions. I think a lot of people are anxious and ready to get out as soon as possible. And, you know, while when you listen to the news, it's not always the best news all the time, but camp is over a month away from our start date. And we're hoping and improving, and then especially, you know, with a 9-week summer program as we get into July and August, that more things are lifting and things are calming down, that we're going to be able to offer some great experiences, you know, throughout the summer.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Paul Danowski is the executive director of Camp Wapsie in Northern Linn County. Still with me is Dr. Rosana Rosa, infectious diseases specialist at Unity Point Health in Des Moines. And Dr. Rosa, let's talk about kids coming together, because, of course, it's been 7 long weeks for kids who are not allowed to go to school, for the most part, not allowed to play with their friends and see other people, see their cousins, see their grandparents. This is taking a toll, and kids don't tend to be particularly at risk for COVID-19. So I think that is making it difficult for parents to say, no, we absolutely need to keep you at home. What kinds of things do parents need to be thinking about with regard to their children and COVID-19?
Well, Charity, I would want to clarify something. What we know about COVID in kids is that they are not at an increased risk of poor outcomes. Mm-hmm. They can still get it, but what we are learning is that they develop very, very mild symptoms. And fortunately, you know, deaths have been extremely, extremely rare, but they can still get it. And they can still spread it to other people that may be more vulnerable to actually experience poor outcomes. I would say that it may feel like June 7th is just around the corner, but in COVID years, it's like 2 years away from now, just because of how fast things are changing. I think it will be very important for all of us to keep an eye on the numbers and an eye on how our curve is looking here in Iowa before we make this type of decisions. I think it's okay for the kids to play outdoors, but, you know, at the end, I go back to how this virus is transmitted. It's transmitted through respiratory droplets from person to person in prolonged close contact.
So what I'm hearing you say, we know that the disease can be transmitted from child to child as easily as it is transmitted among adults. And then kids, of course, when they go home from camp or with the adults that they spend time with at camp, could easily transmit that disease to them. But the child may not have symptoms. They may not know that they have the disease. Nobody may know that, right?
Exactly. Or a very, very mild disease. Yeah.
And talking about close quarters, so are you concerned about the idea of a summer camp where 12 campers might be in the same cabin together?
It does concern me. And, you know, if you look at some of the epidemiological studies that have been conducted both here in the United States and in other countries, what you find is that the attack rate of the virus is much higher amongst people who live, who share the same household or that are in close contact with people that share that same household. Those are the ones who are at highest risk of getting infected. And it should be noted that infection, that acquiring this infection can actually even occur in the pre-symptomatic phase of it. So someone who is not yet fully exhibiting symptoms can still be able to pass it on to other people.
I know that one of the safety precautions that a lot of businesses are putting into place is taking their employees' temperatures twice a day. It sounds like that might be something that, would be tried at a summer camp as well. But I'm also hearing you say that kids might be asymptomatic or have very, very mild symptoms. So taking the temperatures of children, that may not give us as much information as it might with adults.
Yes, it might not give us as much information. And as I mentioned, even if you are on the pre-symptomatic phase, you can still transmit it.
If somebody did choose to send their child to a sleepaway camp, what kind of precautions should they take when their child comes home so that they wouldn't spread it to the greater community?
It's difficult, right? Certainly, you cannot isolate a child from everyone else in the family. They might need to at least remain quarantined inside their household so that they don't spread it to the community. But I understand that would be less than ideal.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you don't think this is a very good idea.
I mean, I look at how our curve is looking right now, and at least right now, we're still on our way up in terms of new cases.
Let's
be very worried.
Yeah. Let's talk about something a little less radical than sending your child to a sleepaway camp. Again, a lot of families have been practicing social distancing and they live in neighborhoods where they see other children out playing. How do you feel about allowing children to play with kids from other families? How should parents approach that decision?
Yeah, that's also a difficult thing, right? Because It really depends then on about how much do you know about what everyone else is doing, right? You know what you have done within your own household in order to stay safe and to avoid that infection, right? But can you be certain that everyone else in every other household is also taking the same measures? And I will tell you, I mean, my own experience as the mom of a toddler, a 2.5-year-old daughter, is that we're not playing with our neighbors. And it's really difficult because it's a beautiful neighborhood where we have, toddlers in front of us and next to us, and they're all friends, and we're staying apart right now.
How can we decide when we don't need to do that anymore?
Yeah, so certainly we will. I mean, I encourage everyone to actually, try to stay informed, both, Iowa Public Radio has a great, blog where you're tracking this. Other media outlets are doing as well. So we can all, the curve is there for all of us to see. And right now, if it's still going up, I don't think it's a good idea for us to start mingling. We certainly want for the curve to have flattened, or even better, for the cases for the number of cases to actually be going down, the curve to be going down, before we can safely start doing these things again, and certainly follow the direction from the CDC and IDPH in terms of gatherings that will be allowed.
We have an approach going on in the state right now where 77 counties are allowed to open a little more widely than the counties that are considered to be hotspots that have these very high number of cases. But of course, our counties are not that big. We're very close together. However, if you're in one of those counties that maybe only has 2 cases, I can imagine that all of this social distancing stuff feels like a major burden. Should there be a different approach if you're in one of those counties?
I think wherever you are, you still need to be very, very careful, and continue to practice physical distancing and hand washing. At some point it seemed like, it was just, the state of Washington, Seattle, that was having this, huge number of cases. Then it seemed like it was California and then New York. And now it may seem like it's Waterloo and Des Moines and Sioux City. But, it can also get into our smaller rural communities. So we may not all be hit at the same time, but it doesn't take too much for this virus to be transmitted and to spread.
We only have about 30 seconds left. If you are at a point where you're trying to decide whether you should make a change in how you are behaving, or if you should allow your children to interact with somebody else, very quickly, what should your decision-making process be?
Yeah, take a look at the curve. If we are still going up in the number of new cases, perhaps you should not do that yet. When you decide to go out, it's important to practice as much physical distancing as possible. If you are not able to do that, then, you know, either wearing a face mask or a face shield. Face shields might actually be more comfortable and easier to wear for children even. Then practice good hand hygiene. Wash your hands.
All right. Dr. Rosana Rosa, thank you so much for talking with us. And please stay well. Dr. Rosana Rosa is an infectious diseases specialist at Unity Point Health in Des Moines. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Jen Loeb. She's a mountain climber and humanitarian. This is Talk of Iowa.